And God bless our meditation on his word for us as we begin the season of Advent together here at Trinity. As we have shared with you the last few weeks, we are marking this season of Advent here at Trinity by using something called Advent blocks. We gave a set to each of our preschool and each of our Sunday school and each of our confirmation families here at Trinity. And we have another set for congregational display out in the parish hall this morning and throughout the season of Advent. It's out in the parish hall underneath the television screen there. You should take the time to check it out. And when you do, you will see that the blocks are 25 in all, one for each day between now and Christmas. And on one side of the blocks is the number corresponding to the day's date. Then when that block gets turned on that date, it reveals an icon related to the Bible account for that day in the devotional that goes with it. Each Bible account leads us deeper into God's biblical story of salvation, all leading up to our celebration anew of our Savior's birth at Christmas. So, that's what Advent blocks are, and now that Advent has begun, we are ready to go with day one. For that, let's go back. Let's go way back, past the manger and the cattle lowing, past the little town of Bethlehem and the silent stars, past the nearby hillside dotted with shepherds and their flocks that they were watching too. For today, we are going to go way back, back to the place where the salvation story first began, the Garden of Eden. You see, the wait for Jesus to come that first Christmas, it didn't begin with the angel Gabriel's proclamation to Mary. And it didn't even begin with the prophet Isaiah's words from the 700 BCs. No, the wait began long before even that. You see, the wait began in Genesis. The wait began with a game of hide and seek. Wait, what, Pastor? A game? Yes, of hide and seek. You know the game, don't you? One person goes off and closes their eyes, and then they count. One, two, three, four. And while they do, everyone else runs away and hides. And then finally, when the counting is done, the seeker shouts, "Ready or not, here I come." And off they go in search of everyone who is hiding. That's the way that you play the game. You know that. I know that. We all know that. But apparently Adam and Eve didn't. For Adam and Eve went off to hide, but they didn't tell God that they were playing. You know the feeling of finally sitting down to a family dinner at Thanksgiving and looking around and seeing that you truly have everything you need. It's a good feeling, isn't it? You have the turkey and the potatoes, the vegetables and the cranberry sauce, the rolls, and everyone has something to drink too. There's salt and pepper on the table, and there's butter and a knife to spread it with as well. Everyone has their plate in front of them. They have the appropriate silverware, and they each have a napkin as well. There's nothing else needed. There's nothing anyone could want that isn't right in front of them on the table. All that's left then is to sit back, to dig in and enjoy. You know, that was kind of the situation that Adam and Eve found themselves in too. Yet God had created them in his image. He had given them his blessing, and he had designed them to be in his presence. They had everything that they could possibly need. They had food to eat. They had good work to do. They had a place to call home. They had each other. And they were in the presence of their Creator, too. Like you, at your Thanksgiving dinner, they could look around and they could see that they had everything they needed. And if they thought for a moment that they didn't, all they would have to do is simply ask, "Where's the mashed potatoes? Down here. Where's the butter? Over here. Where's the green bean casserole? Right in front of you." And yet, having everything they could ever want, Adam and Eve got up from the table. They sinned by trying to get something even more. It wasn't enough for them to have everything they needed and to be in a relationship with God, their Creator. No, now they wanted something even more than that. They didn't just want to be in God's presence. They wanted to believe the devil's lie that they could be like God too. And so they disobeyed him. That doesn't make sense, does it? The devil said if they only disobeyed God, then they would be like God. That makes no sense at all. But sin never does make sense. And as soon as Adam and Eve sinned, they got up from the table with everything they could have ever needed, and they ran off and hid. They started playing hide and seek. But they didn't tell God that they were playing. Have you ever asked God this question? Where are you? I have, and I bet you probably have as well. When we keep praying, we just don't seem to get the answer we want, or even seemingly any answer at all. God, where are you? When we finally get the test results back, and it is as bad as we feared, or even worse than we thought it could be. God, where are you? When our coworkers start avoiding us, and our friends abandon us, and our family stops talking to us. God, where are you? When the addiction just doesn't let up, and the bad habits just keep coming back, and the same cycle of destructive behavior just doesn't seem to end. God, where are you? When your plans get canceled, and your hopes get dashed, and your dreams get shattered, God, where are you? You've asked it before, haven't you? We ask it and we wonder why God doesn't seem to be near, why he doesn't seem to hear, and why we can't seem to find him anywhere. But have you ever considered that you may be the one who has got up and wandered away? That was the case with Adam and Eve. It's the same with us. Our sin is what does it. Sin separates us from God. Our shame does it. Shame leads us to run away from God and hide. Our fallen and broken world does it. The fallen and broken world we live in makes it seem like God is often so distant from the things that we go through and experience here and now. Have you ever considered that you may be the one who has wandered away? That it's not that God is distant, but it's that you are playing a game of hide and seek, but you never told God you were playing. Genesis 3 shows us that Adam and Eve were doing just that. The Bible says this, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." Adam and Eve were the ones who were running from God. And in our sin, we do it too. All of us do it too. The prophet Isaiah said this, "All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way." It's not that God is far off, but that our sin pushes us away. And we can see that for sure because of that question. Because of that question, where are you? We have asked it of God before, haven't we? But what do we find in Genesis chapter 3? Would you read this verse with me? It's the verse right after Adam and Eve have gone off and hid. And what do we get? "But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?'" Adam and Eve had sinned. God knows it the moment that it happened. And yet, what does he do? Does he write off Adam and Eve as a lost cause? Does he distance himself from them so that he can stay clean? Does he forget about them altogether and delete their contact information entirely? No. Instead, he goes in search of them and he asks this question, "Where are you?" It's because God's presence chases after his people. And it all started back in Genesis, where God loved Adam and Eve so much that he went in search for them. And thousands of years later, God would send his son Jesus to earth to seek and to save you. In Luke 15, Jesus tells three parables that highlight his pursuit of sinners like you and me. Jesus is like the shepherd who pursues the one lost sheep out of 100. He is like the woman who sweeps her house in search of the one lost coin out of 10. And Jesus is like the father who runs out to greet and embrace and welcome home his prodigal son who was separated by his sin. Why did Jesus come to earth? You don't have to wonder, for he tells us. "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." To live the perfect life that you and I could not. To suffer and die on the cross to pay the price of our sin, to rise again from the dead, to guarantee that his victory covered over all of our sin and all of our shame. Remember that verse we heard earlier from Isaiah? Isaiah 53, 6a said this, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way." But perhaps you notice there's that little a in the verse destination, isn't there? What does that tell us? You know, right? It tells us there is more in that verse. So what does the rest of the verse say? "And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." We each go our own way. Our sin separates us from God. But God chases after us. He sent his son to earth to save us. And Jesus has done just that, even taking our sin on himself, all of it, so that in Christ we would be brought back to God, so that we would be welcomed back and given a seat at his table, so that we would enjoy all the gifts of His grace that God has for us. And most of all, so that we would be with Him. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we don't have to ask God where He is, because He beats us to it. He pursues us in His love. He finds us in His grace. He has promised that one day His Son, who came to seek and to save us, His Son, Jesus, our Savior, will return again to take us to be with Him and to live in the Lord's presence forevermore. Thanks be to God that He will. In Jesus' name and for His sake we pray. Amen.